And then even before that, for all of the data and information and the understanding that has to go into designing an effective missile defense system, in collecting information and missile tests and a whole host of other ways from those adversary missiles, so that when that engagement occurs, we understand deeply the capabilities of those missiles, how they operate, what their vulnerabilities are, and what it's going to take to kill them in the end game. And that's the part of missile defense and the missile defense enterprise that we're honoring tonight with our Air Force Missile Defender of the Year. Because our Missile Defender of the Year is not traditionally thought as a missile defender. In fact, he has spent his career on board aircraft, flying in harm's way as close to the border of any adversary nation you can think, whether it's in the Middle East or in the Pacific, whether it's Russia or China or North Korea or Iran. He is out there flying those aircraft, collecting that data that long before that fireball occurs, allows it to occur with the data that is collected, provided, and analyzed and deeply understood in the engagement. Rex, I want you to come up here and stand beside here for a minute. We're going to talk a little bit about Captain Rex Villa, who's the Air Force Missile Defender of the Year. Rex is a navigator in our RC-135 aircraft. In this case, particularly, we're honoring for what's called Combat Scent. And some of you know, some of you may not. These aircraft routinely fly within meters, tens of meters of adversary airspace. They perform all their missions in international airspace, but they fly right up to the edge of a sovereign airspace of adversary nations. And they collect information from missile tests and other activities so that it can be fed into that missile defense enterprise. He is, in fact, a navigator on board those airplanes, and he is responsible to ensure that those aircraft fly close enough to that sovereign airspace, but yet remain in international airspace to collect that information. He's not just a navigator, he's an evaluator navigator, which means he's the one who ensures that every single navigator that flies on board all of those RC-130 aircraft understand and execute that mission with precision, with excellence, to 100% perfection every single day. That's what he does every single day. But he's more than that. In fact, that's just the routine part of his mission. The reason he's the Air Force Missile Defender of the Year is because of the activities and the leadership that he provided on deployment earlier this year from February to April. When he began a deployment out into the Pacific region, the director of operations for an aircraft and a crew of 50 that at the time was focused on North Korea. And if you all remember, back a year ago, we were still talking about that little rocket man from North Korea, and it was vital that we understood what he was doing, how he was doing. Well, as Rex's deployment unfolded, we started to engage diplomatically, and so that also provided him the opportunity in the course of that deployment to plan and execute missions not just in the Pacific, but he and his team and his aircraft went twice to CENTCOM as well to collect against targets there, and to really for the first time field an upgraded capability from that aircraft that will allow us to do more than just defend against those simple missiles and simple ballistic trajectories, but more complex missiles, more complex decoys, more complex TTPs that the adversary might employ. The information they collect that are going to ensure that you all continue to have the capability in that regard to do that. And so, just like I recognize that I'm a missile defender, Rex is a missile defender as well. And that's why it's a privilege and honor to recognize him tonight as the Air Force Missile Defender of the Year. Cool.
There.
one more thing. There's one unit in the world that's been deployed continuously since August of 1990. For those of you that remember, that was the first Gulf War. In August of 1990, many of the nation's military forces went to war. That included the 55th Wing at Office Air Force Base and Rex's Squadron and the 45th Reconnaissance Squadron. They have been deployed worldwide ever since. They have never come home. And basically on 2 month cycles, those crews and those airplanes go out to the Middle East, to the Pacific, and everywhere else. And there's a lot of reasons why they can do it, and the most important of which are the support that they get from home. And in the case of Rex, that's his wife, Alicia. I'd like you all to help me.
Thank you. I'm going to switch up from Chief Watterson's remarks. I'm going to thank the wife first. Thanks for the teeing up there that you did for me, General Thompson. I appreciate it. First person I'd like to thank tonight is my wife, Felicia. Actually, just 2 days ago, we celebrated our ninth wedding anniversary. So, none of what I do would be possible without her. Her dedication, her support, I couldn't do this without her. And on that small note, thank you, Mr. Ellison, for making my anniversary weekend planning very simple. I didn't expect that a few months ago, but it worked out. Thanks. So, next on the list of thank yous, obviously, the MDAA, Mr. Ellison, and your staff. The hard work I've seen even just since last night has been remarkable. And not knowing truly what your advocacy brings until now, I'm really appreciative that you guys are here and doing the work that you're doing. So thank you very much. Secretary Rood, thank you for your remarks. I think you hit the nail right on the head with all your remarks. And not a day goes by that us on the cover ball or whatever sort of platform we're on, we're executing the mission. We're getting that intelligence, and we're doing it for the greater good of this room. And I think you represent a lot of that, so thank you very much. Lastly, even though not here, I'd like to give a big thank you to the 45th Reconnaissance Squadron leadership. I have a lot of great mentors in that organization. I've grown there. I've developed there from lieutenant days, and I've been there for almost 7 years. So I don't think any of this would be possible without the support that I have in that leadership and the leadership within the wing. Just like General Thompson said, we're not necessarily what the traditional sense of a missile defender would necessarily be considered. I didn't even know this award existed until some alum leadership from Offutt contacted me and said this is a thing, and we know how you fit in and we want to put you in for it. I said, great, let's do it. I'm not a space and missiles guy. I'm a navigator by trade. I don't have any THAAD experience or Aegis experience, but being a navigator, I'm really thankful for your work, sir, in Space Command and at the MDA. If I had to navigate without GPS, it'd be a really hard day. I absolutely could do it. I wouldn't want to get you wrong, but it's certainly a lot better with it, and I appreciate that and the connectivity that we get every day, so thank you all in that regard. But like General Thompson said, the foundation of missile defense, I think ISR is really laying that groundwork for the foundation that builds everything else that is supporting this room. Did I know that when I was flying those missions last year? No, absolutely not. I had a mission to do. I had a group of 50 folks that were relying on me to advocate for them with the joint staff and the other parties that control the platform. But now I see the bigger picture, and to Mr. Ellison's piece, the education part, I've been educated, so thank you for that. And with any luck, I can help you advocate with our community as well and gain some perspective from the ISR community in missile defense. thank you for this honor. Thank you all for coming. And thank you very much for the privilege of being the awardee for the Air Force this year. Thank you.